Something to Talk About, written by Alethio and read by Too Delicious. Enjoy. Merlin was hiding in the kitchens when Arthur found him, which just made everything worse. "Here you are," the prince called out in exasperation, while the kitchen maids scuttled a curtsy and the cooks bobbed their heads in deference. "Here I am," Merlin agreed wearily. He moved towards the prince, trying to get out of earshot of anyone else, before Arthur opened his mouth again and made it even worse. "I've been looking for you all over the castle. Why are you hiding from me?" Oh yes, there it was. Merlin could feel his ears go red as he muttered apologies to the prince and hurried away down the hall. He hadn't been hiding, exactly. He'd been avoiding, strategically. He'd been spending time without Arthur, very visibly, in the presence of the other servants. And it had all backfired spectacularly in his face. "Well, now you've found me, sire. What do you need?" He was deliberately abrupt, trying to show his annoyance without actually angering Arthur. Arthur either decided to ignore him or was oblivious. "We're going to go hunting," he declared. "It's a beautiful sunny day." Well, at least that was preferable to some of the chores Arthur could have assigned to him, Merlin thought grudgingly. And they'd be away from the castle. Maybe he could relax. It was indeed a beautiful day, and Merlin felt his heart lighten as he saddled up the two horses and loaded a bag with some food and other practicalities. Arthur was in a cheerful mood, and it was difficult to remain grumpy at someone who exuded such charm and joy. In fact, had they not passed the sniggering stable boy on the way out of the gate, Merlin might have even considered it a good day. They rode in silence across the hillside. Merlin was starting to get used to being on a horse, but it still required rather more concentration than allowed him to engage in his usual chatter, but it was companionable silence. Merlin could feel some of his worries, some of his self-consciousness flowed up into the clear, bright sky. He wished that it could always be like this. "So, what was all that about this morning?" Arthur asked, and Merlin realized that there was no point in wishing. "Nothing," he said lightly. "Nothing at all." Arthur frowned at him curiously, so Merlin smiled. Arthur shook his head in amusement and grinned back. "Sometimes I don't understand you at all, Merlin," he commented. Merlin wasn't sure that there was an answer to that. Hunting might have been the intention, but Merlin didn't really have enough control over his horse to move with the stealth and silence required. A few times Arthur made him hang back and stay out of the way, but the prince usually returned with little game. Merlin tied together the few birds and rabbits and was secretly glad not to be trying to lag around a deer carcass. "I'm thirsty," Arthur announced when he returned a fourth time. "Not having much luck today." Merlin passed him a skin of water and a strap that the prince could loop around his neck. "But it's a nice day to be out anyway," he reminded Arthur. He received a dazzling smile in return. "It is," the prince confirmed. "Getting warm, though. I might give up on hunting and find somewhere to sit in the shade. There's a lake not far from here. The horses must be thirsty, too." Merlin was weary of lakes, so he followed Arthur with care, keeping alert. He could feel his power thrumming just under his skin, ready to lash out and protect him if necessary. Arthur swung down of his stallion with the kind of graceful move that Merlin knew that he was completely incapable of imitating. The prince then spoke softly to the horse and rubbed his nose before leading him down into the shallows, the ripples lapping at his boots as he let the horse drink. He bent and scooped a palmful of water and splashed it over his face and neck, darkening his hair, before turning and grinning at Merlin. "What are you waiting for?" he asked. Merlin realized he'd remain on the edge of the forest, his horse tugging eagerly to be allowed to join his fellow. While Merlin sat still and stared at Arthur, he flushed, embarrassed to have laughed so and inordinately relieved that nobody else had been there to witness it. Arthur, he hoped, would just chalk it up to being another of Merlin's weirdnesses. He slid in ungainly fashion from the horse and scrambled down the bank to join Arthur in the shallows. "There," he said to the horse decisively, "drink." The horse did, but Arthur splattered with water behind him. Merlin turned and raised an eyebrow in question. "You could speak more kindly to the mare," Arthur pointed out, though his slaughter. "Let her get to know you. She's an intelligent animal, and they like attention." Merlin furrowed his brow and patted the horse on the neck. "There, there, hello, horsey," he said obediently, causing Arthur to relapse in such gales of laughter that he almost fell over into the water. "You're going to have to do better than that," he said, once he'd regained his ability to speak. Merlin looked at him quizzically. "The mare is a gift," Arthur explained. "Oh," Merlin replied, unenlightened. "For whom?" "You, idiot!" "Oh," Merlin paused. "Oh, no, thank you," he replied politely. Arthur looked at him as if he'd grown a second head. "No, thank you," he repeated. "This is a pretty valuable mare, Merlin." Merlin sighed and spoke very slowly, as if to a child. "You can't give your servant his own horse, especially a valuable mare." Arthur looked hurt. "I wasn't giving it to my servant. I was trying to give it to my friend." He bit back further words. "Aren't we friends?" And for a moment, he looked more vulnerable than Merlin had ever seen, and he thought he felt something tiny break inside him. "Arthur," he said, using the prince's first name. "It's not that I don't appreciate the gesture, but that I can't accept it. Well, he paused. He hadn't wanted to have this conversation. "The other servants talk enough as it is. You can't give me presents." Arthur looked as though he didn't understand. Why should he? Merlin thought. "He doesn't hear the servants' gossip." "They tease me that we're to close already, sire," he explained. "They whisper behind their hands when we walk past. I think..." He paused to swallow and finished in a rush. "They think I warm you bad, sire." Arthur blinked, digesting this information. "Oh," he said. "Oh." Then he laughed wryly to himself. He moved away from Merlin and the horses and sat on the bank. "They mock you?" he asked, looking back at Merlin, who nodded slowly. Do you want to work for someone else?" "No," Merlin replied quickly, firmly. "I'm your servant." Arthur's eyes creased in a smile. "Good," he replied. "Then I guess we'll just have to fire everyone else instead." Merlin laughed and moved to sit beside the prince. "Very practical, sire. I'm sure your father would have absolutely no objections." Arthur shrugged. "I would if I could," he said softly. Merlin didn't know how to reply. They sat watching the horses for a while. The mare lifted her nose, nudged her head against the stallion. "Yes, I guess it would be an inappropriate gift," Arthur said after a bit, "in the circumstances." "A mare," Merlin replied with a raised eyebrow. "Just a bit." Arthur began to laugh again. "Well then," he declared, "she's yours for today. We will ride around and make the most of the sunshine and pretend for a little that she is a gift. Then," he turned to grin at Merlin, "you can give her back when we get home." He rose quickly and went to the horses. Merlin followed. He paused before clambering back onto the horse. "If she's mine, then you ought to tell me her name," he pointed out. "True," Arthur looked down from where he sat astride his stallion. "She's called May." Merlin stroked the mare's nose the way he'd seen Arthur do, and she turned her liquid dark eyes toward him. "Hello, May," he whispered, and allowed himself, just for a moment, to imagine that he could accept the gift. They rode fast across the grasslands, a wee thing between the trees in and out of the woodland. It would have been a race, except that Arthur was decidedly faster and more experienced. Merlin tried to keep up, occasionally making branches flash mysteriously out of his way, putting on bursts of speed to catch up with the prince, and dashing down slopes as shortcuts. May moved beneath him willingly, enjoying the chance to stretch her legs, eager to charge after Arthur's mount. Soon both boys were panting and laughing, and Merlin could feel Maie's breast heaving beneath his knees. "Time for a rest," Arthur called, waving his arm to indicate the shady cups. As Merlin turned to follow, Maie jolted suddenly, stumbling, and Merlin tumbled hard to the ground. He lay for a moment in the grass, winded. Arthur's dark shape blotted out the sun. "Are you hurt?" he asked, bending over Merlin. "No," Merlin replied, easing himself up to sit. "Is she?" Arthur sprang to his feet and crossed to the mare, running his hands over her, down her legs, lifting her hoofs to examine them. "Not seriously," he replied, to Merlin's relief. "She'll need some attention to that leg, but she'll recover fine." Merlin stood shakily and walked over to them, running his hand over her neck. "I'm sorry," he told the mare. "It was an accident," Arthur shrugged. "Could have happened to anyone. There must have been a hidden root or a dip in the grass." Merlin nodded. "How far are we from Camelot?" he asked. "I'll walk her back." Arthur looked at him. "It's a long way." "I'm used to walking." Arthur turned to return to his horse, then paused, turned back and held his hand out. "Ride with me," he said, and his face was open, hopeful. "I'll let you down to walk the last part, if you'd prefer, or people might see." Merlin knew it was a stupid idea. He knew he should step back, say no, make the prince ride away. And yet, he said yes, anyway, because he was a fool. Arthur smiled it up his face, and his fingers were firm around Merlin's forearm as he helped him up onto the stallion. Maie's reins looped around his arm. Then Merlin was behind him, and Arthur's body was strong and solid between his knees and under his palms. "You'll have to hold him better than that," Arthur told him wryly. So Merlin did. For the whole ride home, Merlin was excruciatingly aware of every inch of his body where it touched Arthur. His arms around Arthur's waist, his knees against Arthur's hips, moving against him with the rhythm of the horse. Arthur's neck and shoulders filled his vision. The stretch of his shirt, color darkened with sweat, the curl of his hair at the nape of his neck. And Merlin knew that now the servants' taunts would hurt in a way they never had before. They slowed from a trot to a walk as they rode across the brink of the hill overlooking Camelot. "Do you want to get down?" Arthur asked, and his voice sounded rough. His hand was on Merlin's wrist, where they wrapped around him, preventing Merlin from moving yet. They came to a stop. "I should. It would be a good idea," Merlin replied. "Yes," Arthur agreed, but he didn't let go. "Sire?" Merlin asked, after a moment. "Is the idea really that repulsive to you?" Arthur asked, barely louder than a whisper, and he didn't turn his head to look at Merlin. Merlin didn't have to ask what he was referring to. He paused a moment, weighing right with want, taunt with Arthur. "No," he said hoarsely, and he turned his hand so that his fingers interlinked with Arthur's. "Are you getting off the horse?" Arthur asked softly. "No," Merlin repeated. "Then, what will your father say?" Arthur tilted his head, turned it enough that Merlin could see a smile. "He won't care. He's never cared who, that is. As long as I didn't have too many illegitimate, well, anyway, that won't be a problem." His head turned away again. "Sire?" Merlin asked with a smile. "Are you embarrassed?" "No," Arthur replied quickly. "Are you?" His fingers wrapped around Merlin's were tense. Merlin leaned forward and brushed a kiss against the back of Arthur's neck, below the ear. "Not anymore," he whispered. "Well then," said Arthur, and he started the horse moving again. "Shall we give them something to talk about?" Merlin kept his eyes firmly on the back of Arthur's head as they rode down into the courtyard and ignored the whispers and stares. He knew Arthur could see them too, even if he'd been oblivious in the past. But the prince rode proud and tall, as always, calling down to his knights, greeting his friends as he always would. They stopped outside the stable, and Merlin swung down of the horse, aided by Arthur. Then the prince dismounted, stood beside him, holding the reins. The stable boy stepped forward to take them, and Arthur caught Merlin's eye. Merlin grinned. Then Arthur caught his hand, pulled him close, and brushed a kiss against his lips. "Let them talk," he whispered. The end. Thanks for listening.